Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Tes Vav Amud Beis. We're 10 lines from the bottom of the words of E. Hachi, just to get our bearings, remind ourselves where we're holding in the sugya. So the Gemara was wondering, we had this vague statement from Rabbi Meir, who said from Midivrayim, from someone in the Mishnah, we could learn that you can burn Truma, which is going to be Tamei, with Truma that's going to be Tahor on Erev Pesach, if they are both Chametz, because you have to get rid of them anyway. So the Gemara, the whole Shach of Atari and Esther's Da, figuring out who was this Midivrayim? The Gemara originally suggested maybe it was going on Bechaninus Kahn and Kohanim, and one was Deraisa and one was Derabanan. The Gemara rejects that. And then we have Reish Lakish, who gives his different interpretation that's going on the Shita of Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yehoshua. That was one Shita. Now we have Rabbi Yochanan, who said that really, no, going back the way we originally wanted to say, that the opinion of Rabbi Meir is really following that of Rabbi Chaninus Kahn and Kohanim. And Rabbi Chanina was telling you that you can burn Kachim, which was Tame on a Doraisa level, which was Kachim, which was Tahor on a Doraisa level, but only Tame Midra Abanan, and that the Rabbanan responded and said you're allowed to do that according to Machanis Kan Kohanim. So too you'd be allowed from the sixth hour to burn Truma, which is Asher Midra Abanan, with Truma, which is Asher Midraisa, because it's Tame full fledged Truma status, and you can burn them together on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara tries to bring rayas for Rabbi Yochanan. We brought the raya from Pasha Ipsha of bread that became moldy. And the Gemara answered, no, you can't bring a raya from Pasha Ipsha because Afra B'almahu, at the end of the day, the moldy bread is very different. It's like dirt. It's nothing at all. It's completely unedible. And you can't bring it with the case of regular truma. That's where we left off yesterday. Now we're picking up from Ihachi. So the Gemara now did not have any rayas for Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara is going to flip it to the other side. It's trying to bring proofs against Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara now says, Ihachi, if it's true that Rabbi Meir learned it from Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, how is he going to explain the Mishnah which says, my moda, what's the point Rabbi Yossi was replying to? Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua agree. The opinion of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer have nothing to do with the mission, with the point. The whole idea was Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. So says the Gemara now answering Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi Ka'amar, Le Rabbi Yossi, Le Rabbi Meir. This is what Rabbi Yossi meant to say to Rabbi Meir. Afilu Rabbi Yeshua de Mikel. Even according to what you say, Rabbi Yeshua, who's more Mikel, he's more lenient than that of Rabbi Yeshua Haskana Kohanim, because we have Rabbi Yeshua who says that, meaning we're going to explain that you're going to reject Rabbi Chanina in Gansa, we're going to completely reject Rabbi Chanina, and now we want to bring in Rabbi Yeshua, which actually might be more lenient than Rabbi Chanina, even that's not going to work for you. Ki Mekel, when is Rabbi Yeshua, when is he Mekel? Only Betluya Tmea. He is going to be, the most he's going to be Mekel is only when you have Truma, which is a Suffolk Tame, which you're not fully sure about. Aval betahora utmea lo. But with regards to truma, that's tahora, and truma, that's full-fledged tuma, you can't say you're going to burn those together. Certainly, he did not say you're allowed to be burn them together. Rabbi Yeshua had two big kulas. Rabbi Yeshua's first kula is that you can allow it to be metame biadayim, the truma that's going to fall onto the tame chulin, because at the end of the day, it's all going to get ruined. You can save the chulin. That was his first kula, and Rabbi Yossi is saying that that's a special kula because you have a loss of chulin. In that case, we're going to make a special leniency. Then the second big kula was the fact that you're allowed to be metame truma tluya indirectly. First of all, it was indirectly. Secondly, it was also only with regards to truma tluya. It was only with regards to truma, which is a suffix about, which you're not sure about, which is not full-fledged isser yet. It's not full-fledged tame truma. Only in those two cases, Rabbi Yossi was mekel. He was not mekel in any circumstance with regular full-fledged Truma Tahora to burn it actively with Truma Tmeya. He had special reasons for those two cases. You can't learn out Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Yossi's response to Rabbi Meir. You can't learn out from this case of Rabbi Yeshua. So now the Gemara asks further. Gemara says, Ihachi, but if it's true that Rabbi Meir learned this rule from Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, Amai Enoi Namida. But then at the end of the day, why did Rabbi Yossi reject his learning from the fact that it was similar to Rabbi Chanina's Kohanim? You just proved Rabbi Yeshua would disagree with this proof. Why was Rabbi Meir wrong in learning it from Rabbi Chanina's Kohanim? The Mido Mido, the Gemara is saying it really is a good comparison. Because if you say that Rabbi Yossi is going to agree that during the seventh hour when Chametz is Asher Mida'ar Reisa, then you're allowed to burn it together with Truma Tahora and Truma Tmea, because at the end of the day they're Asr Midaraisa. So Rabbi Yossi is telling you, when you have something that is Asr Midaraisa, it's going to be allowed. So then you could explain that Rabbi Chanina was telling you that even if something's Asr Midarabanan, that would mean that you can burn it with something that's Asr Midaraisa. That's what's learning out from Kachim. That you have a Kachim that has a Psul Deoraisa, you're allowed to burn it with a Kachim that has a Psul even only Midarabanan. So then I can learn out that in the sixth hour, when Chametz is only Asr to eat Midarabanan, I can burn it because I'm not allowed to have enough from eating it anymore, so I can burn it with chametz, which is going to be usher Truma, rather, that's going to be Asher Midaraisa, Truma Tmeya, I can burn them together. That's a fair assumption that Rabbi Chanina would agree with that principle. So the Gemara asks, why is it not a good comparison? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah explains, Hacha, in the case of Rabbi Chanina, we're talking about the meat that was Tameh from a Rishon Latuma, Bebasar Shenitma Bemashkin Shenitmu Mach Masheretz. We're dealing with a case where the meat was, in fact, made Tameh by a liquid that had been made Tameh by a Sheretz. So meaning that we're discussing a case anywhere it became tamei through an avatum. Of the Azar B'Meir, the time Rabbi Meir was learning out that the case of this situation is going to be l'shitasa. Yossi is going to be l'shitasa, is going to be following his own reasoning as we've seen a circumstance. What is this now? The Gemara explains. Rabbi Meir, the time Rabbi Meir is going to follow his reasoning. Damar tumas mashkin l'tamei acherim d'rabbanan. Rabbi Meir holds that the whole concept of the ability for a mashke to impart tuma onto a different mashke, that is all derabanan, and they're all derabanan. Rabbi Meir holds that under midaraisa, any mashke can get tame, but it can't transmit tame on a deraisa level, not even to a food. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi is going to disagree. He's going to hold that to the deraisa. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, though, that holds that this meat was derabanan, so then this meat was really only asr midarabanan. Rabbi Chanina is telling us that Kohanim used to burn them together. That's really what he learns. So why would Rabbi Yossi disagree with this? So the Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Yossi is also going to be l'tame. He's going to follow his own shita. What does he hold in another context? De'amar tumas mashkin l'tame acherim de'oreisa. He holds that the ability of tame liquids to then impart the tuma onto something else is also midoreisa. So therefore, Rabbi Chanina, when he's teaching us this din, is telling us that something that had a higher degree of tuma being burnt to something that had a lower degree of tuma, that's the whole chiddush of the Mishnah, and they're both tame midoreisa. So even though they're both tame midoreisa, you've increased their tuma only on something that was full-fledged tame. So he would never learn, according to this, then Rabbi Yossi would never be able to learn that there's any such concept of tuma, that the tuma midrabanan being allowed to be burnt with tuma deraisa, and therefore there's no such thing as tuma, a truma of der, that's usher midrabanan to have a nut to eat from, then that there would be no iser at all, there would be no heter rather to burn that with truma that's full-fledged iser midrabanan, because at the end of the day, the whole case of Rabbi Chanina was talking about two things that were usher midrabanan. Rashi just points out that l'chora, we're discussing a case of an avatuma that is then imparting it, making a rishon, and then creating a sheni, which is the same level of tuma. You're not increasing the tuma just with inner bichanina. What exactly is going on? So Rashi just explains that, yeah, we already had that shlak of a tar. The Gemara asked a question. Really, the Gemara already meant to say that we're just, Rabbi Chanina was discussing a case with a rishon and a shlishi. In a chanami, we're discussing those two cases. That's what Rashi just points out, that really we're discussing the increase on a derech level, and then have that same havamina that we mentioned before. Okay. So that is what we're holding out right now. So now the Gemara is going to quote a proof that this is really the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi with regards to the how they hold in regards to in reference to liquids. The Tanya we learn in the Braisa, now turning on to the next Amud, Safik Mashkin Litame, that in a case where you're not sure if a liquid has become Tame in itself, so then that's going to be Tame. Then out of the fact that it's Safik, your doubt, you're not sure, you still have to be Machmir, because that's Safik De'oreisa L'chumna, the fact that a Mashke can become De'oreisa, can come Tame rather, that's a din De'oreisa according to Rabbi Meir. L'tame Acherim, however, if you're not sure if this same thing, which was Tame, then went on to impart its Tuma to something else by touching something else, or whatever, you're not sure how that it be, yeah, by touching it, let's say, Tahar, then the other things are going to be Tahar, Devar Meir, because we're assuming L'chora, the way the Gemara is analyzing it, is that to be Metame something else, Rabbi Meir is going to hold, that's only Derabanan. So you would have a Safek Derabanan, we know Safek Derabanan, L'kula, that's how Rabbi Meir holds. V'chene Rabbi Lezer, Mekdvarav, and Rabbi Lezer learned, like Rabbi Meir, the Gemara is going to analyze what point did Rabbi Lezer agree with on Rabbi Meir. We're going to get to that in the Hamshech. Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer L'kol Tame. Rabbi Yehuda says that anything that might have been touched by Tame liquid is going to be Tame Misafik, so he's going to agree in that point that it's a Safik Dereisa. However, Rabbi Lakol Tame, even Rabbi Yehuda is extending that to even assume that if it's going to maybe touch, you're not sure if that liquid then touched something else, that's also considered Safik Dereisa L'chumra. So we see from here, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a liquid has the ability mid Dereisa to be Matame both Ochal and Mashke, both foods and drink. That is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, is very machmir. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, La'ochent Tmeya, they make a chilek with regards to foods that they may have been touched by a liquid, those are going to become tame out of suffix. So they hold that those are de'oraisa. However, lekelim torim, with regards to other kelim, with regards to utensils that may have been touched by a tame liquid, in that case they're going to be tohar misafik, because we see apparently that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi hold that to be metame other liquids is going to be only dirabanan. And Rashi just points out in Arichus over here, Rashi says that the homachlokes tanaim is really with regards to the pasuk which says mikola ochal asher achel asher v'alav mayim itmav v'chomashke asher yishaseh b'chol kli itmav. This pasuk can be very important. We're going to analyze this a lot in the next few dapim. So the simple understanding of this pasuk is understanding that when it comes to liquids that are going to potentially have regards to tumah, but it doesn't indicate at any point. I mean, the pasuk is telling you that any food which is edible, that water comes, or is going to become tame. Any liquid that can be drunk is going to also, it can become tame. It doesn't tell anything about imparting tumah to something else. So that's why we have this machlokas. Rabbi Meir learns from over here that really midaraisa, they're tame. However, other tanaim are going to learn out, yitma is going to be as if it's yitame, that they're able to then impart the tumah onto something else. That's going to be machlokas. We're going to get to that more in Yudches, but it's important just to have a background in there that that's the pasuk that they're arguing about. So at the end of the day, we see from here that this, according to Rabbi Meir of Lazar, that something to be tamed by something else is only Jarabanan. Rabbi Yehuda would hold it's deraisa, and Rabbi Yossi would hold that other to be metame other things is also going to be deraisa. That's what the Gemara wants to assume at this point. Okay, with that, we've just analyzed the Mishnah. Now the Gemara wants to analyze, we're going to start getting into all Tumas Mashkin. The Gemara is going to come onto that by the fact that Rabbi Lezer over here seemed to say, like Shitas Rabbi Meir, that's how the Braisa quoted him, yet we're going to have a stira that he seems to say in a different Braisa otherwise. The Gemara says, is it really true, Visavar Rabbi Lezer, Mashkin Islahu Tuma Olam, is it really true that Rabbi Lazar holds that there's such a concept that liquids can have any tumah even on a level of Doraisa Vatana? Doesn't it tell us in the Braisa that Rabbi Lazar says, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Ein tumah lamashkin kol ikka? There is no such concept that a liquid has the ability to become tumah on a level of Doraisa. Apparently, this means they can't even acquire the tumah according to Shitas Rabbi Elazar. Teda, because you will know this is true, Sharei Heid Yosef Ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda. Yosef Ben Yoezer, who we've quoted many times in Mishnah, the Edios, very early Tana, he was made, he gave a testimony, Al Ayal Kamta, the Ayal, that the type of grasshopper, Dachan, that it is Tahar. That meaning, Dachan means over here, it's Tahar, meaning it's kosher. We know that there's certain grasshoppers which are actually Torah to eat. I'm pretty sure we don't have the Masorah for them. We don't need any of them. But there are certain ones that the Torah specifies specifically are going to be Torah. I'm pretty sure the Teimanim do have a Masorah for that. It's something that's gross anyway. Something I've ever wanted to eat at all. But Lamaisa, that's something that we don't have the Masorah for, so we don't eat it. But if I'm not mistaken, I think Teimanim have a Masorah for certain grasshoppers that actually are going to be kosher. But either way, so that was one thing that he was made. That part is not relevant for our discussion. The next part is what the Iker, the Gemara is bringing this out for, Val Mashkin Beit Mitbachaya. And this is that the area where the shechted, the animals in the Beit Mitbachaya, is the area of the Tzafon of the Mizbeach, the northern part where they used to have all the... They would shecht the animals and then put the hides there and put the meat there on the different things in front of the Mizbeach. So that he said, Dachan, that they are Torah, meaning that they're not going to be susceptible to Tumah. In this Beit Mitbachayim, that was the area that he held, is that the liquids over there, meaning there's two liquids that they had over there. They had blood, obviously, because they're shechting things, so there's a ton of blood over there. And the water, which the meat would be washed with after doing the butchering, after shechting everything, that would have those two things. So he is being made over here that the two things over there, the blood and the water, are not going to be subject to become tame. So we see from over here, from the fact that he said that it must be that this understanding, this quotation from Rabbi Elezer quoting Yossi ben Yoezer, he must hold that can't be the Doraisa, that anything is Mekabal Tumah, because if things are Mekabal Tumah Doraisa, there'd be no heter in the Beit Mitbachayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, to allow you to say that it doesn't become Tame. The only way you could have a possibility of assuming that these liquids are okay and not be metame in the Beis HaMikdash would be that if it's a Gzera Darabanan, you could assume that in the Beis HaMikdash they weren't gozer. So it can't be that there's an Isra, that there would be a Tumah Mida Oresa. So the Gemara says, Hanicha l'shmul. So the Gemara now says that there's two possible ways of explaining this braisa to explain why it wouldn't be akasha on Rabbi Lezer. So the Gemara now says, according to Shmuel, we can understand why it's not akasha, because Hanicha l'shmul da amar dachan milatame tumas achirim, that the liquids over here are tahor in this case, because it means that they're not going to impart the tumah to other things. Aval tumas atman yesh lahem, but they do have the tumah themselves, that they can become tame themselves. It just means that they can't. They can't be matame other things. Shapir, then according to this, Rabbi Lezer is going to make sense. Because in the second braisa, we're going to assume the following. We're going to assume that his opinion really is in the second braisa, that Yosef bin Ozer, that the tumah doesn't apply to other liquids under a level of daraisa. So that means that only to be matame other things. But he's going to agree that they themselves can become tame. So that's what Rabbi Yosef bin Ozer wouldn't be a steerer to that understanding. So the Gemara says, El al Rav, Damar Dach and Mamash. But according to Rav, who holds that liquids themselves are totally tahor, they're not susceptible to tumah whatsoever, my ikal and mimer, according to him, what is Rav going to say between the stira and Rabbi Lazar? He clearly said in the first point that they are, in according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, that they are fully tahor. But in the Braisa, Rabbi Lazar seems to agree with Rabbi Meir, who holds that midaraisa they can become tame. So how are you going to explain the stira bidas Rabbi Lazar? So the Gemara answers, according to Rav, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Achada, that you must have assumed that Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that when Rabbi Elazar rather, is trying to say that I agree with Rabbi Meir, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Braisa is quoting him as Rabbi Elazar agree, said like Rabbi Meir, that was only with regards to one Nakuda, not both halachic rulings of Rabbi Meir. Meir said two halachas. He says that the first one is that if you have a suffix tuma, you're machmir on the first because that's suffix daraisa l'chumra. You have to machmir assuming that the liquid itself did become tameh. But if you have a suffix about a liquid transmitting tuma to something else, you're not sure if it touched it, that's suffix derban l'kula. Rabbi Lezer agreed with that din because that's suffix derban l'kula. But he disagreed with the first din because the first din Rabbi Lezer would hold, that's what Rav is understanding right now, that even that first din you would say suffix derban l'kula. There is no such concept of having liquids become tameh on a daraisa level. So we see that that's what, this is what we want to assume Rabbi Meir is, Rabbi Lezer is holding at this point lefi Rav. The Gemara says you can't explain that way in the Braisa, because v'hakid varav ka'amar, the Lashon of the Braisa said that Rabbi Lezer agreed like Rabbi Meir said. That sounds like dinafishi. That sounds like all the dinim that Rabbi Meir said in this context, Rabbi Lezer is going to agree with, because he said v'chein amar k'varav. Rabbi Lezer said the same thing as Rabbi Meir. He wouldn't say he said the same thing only on one nekuda, on one point. He said the same thing on everything. V'od, not only that, it also says v'chein amar Rabbi Lezer. V'chein amar Rabbi Lezer means implies that Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbi Lezer fully. The Rabbi Lezer rather agrees with Rabbi Meir fully. It can't be that that's what it says. Ends off, you're right, kasha, that is in fact difficult to answer this stira lefi Rav. Usually kasha means that there is a teretz, it's not a knockout, it's not a tziyufta, but at the end of the day, this is something that would be difficult that Rav would have to give an answer to. Usually Rishonim will try to give a teretz somewhere, if there's something that's a kasha, how he could answer up for Rav. Either way, that's what the Gemara just focused on between answering for Rav and Shmuel. So now the Gemara is going to go back and analyze the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Gufa. So let's go back and analyze with the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, Rav Amar Dachan Mamasher, that Yosef Yonezer's, his testimony with regards to liquids is that they're tahor and they're not. There's no such concept of liquids that can become tameh. Shmuel Amar Dachem Matam Tumas Achirim about Tumas Atzman Yishlem, that they themselves can become tameh on daraisa level, but with regards to imparting tumah to something else, that would be derabanan. So the Gemara now analyzes Rav Amar Dachem Mamish Kasaver. He holds, we're just fleshing out what we just said. Tumas Mashkin is going to be derabanan. V'chigaz Rabbanan, when the rabbis make the decree that they should be subject to tumah, is b'mashkin to ama, only with regards to liquids in every other context except for the Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to the Mashkin Beis HaMikdash, in the area where they did the Shechita, they did not make this Gzera. Why not? Because they don't want to increase Tuma with regards to Kachim unnecessarily on the level of Derbanan. And Shmuel says that they are Tahor from imparting Tuma to other things. However, they would be Tame themselves. And so therefore, only with them with regards to touching other things, that's where it's a din, only a din derabanan, but they themselves to become tameh, that's deraisa according to Shmuel. V'chigaz rabanan, so when did the rabanan make this decree? B'mashkin d'amma, every other time except for the Beis HaMikdash. B'mashkin Beis Mechaya lo gazer, they don't make this gzera. V'chilo gazer rabanan, and what context do they not make the gzera, the decree? L'tua muye acherim, only to make other things tameh. Avel tumas atzmerslamem, but with regards to acquiring tumah themselves, even under deraisa, the rabanan could not change the halacha would be deraisa, then they would have to be machmer. So the Gemara continues. Amar le Rav Huna bar Chinanat libre. Rav Unna Bar Chanina said to his son, "Kelis l'kamay de Rav Papa." When you go to Rav Papa and you go hear the shir from Rav Papa, ask him the following question. Rambam like ask the stira in the sheet of Shmuel. Is it really true? Mi'amar Shmuel. Did Shmuel really say that regards to the Beit Mitbachaya, it is dachem l'tamei tumas acherim, that they're tahor in the sense that they cannot impart the tumah to other things. Aval tumas atman yeshlam. But at the end of the day, they do have the tumah on themselves. Krik Khan, at the end of the day, the pasuk says v'basar shiriga b'chol tamei lo yachel. The pasuk says that the basar, that the meat of here specifically referring to kachim, that touches anything that's tamei is not allowed to be eaten. So if we're assuming over here that something that is tamei touches kachim is always going to be tamei, so then over here you have a liquid which is tamei and it touched kachim, so shouldn't it for sure be that at the end of the day when it comes to, it says over here, "B'chol tamei kivan damer mashkim." Rashi says, "Mashkim etamin midoreisa latzman baser kodesh anogeh b'hem should become tamei." That anything that touches kachim, which is tamei, here you have a liquid which is tamei, it should increase the tumah to continue that tumah to the meat of kachim. So the Gemara says, why is this a problem? Amar Rav Shisha Breder of Idi, Mididavir Via Kodesh. We have certain things which are Tamei Midda'oraisa, and they just don't go a further level. What's the example? If you have meat of Kachim, which is a Ravi Latuma, if you have a Avatuma who touched a piece of meat, that then touched, that makes it a Rishon, that piece of meat touched another piece of meat, and that piece of meat touched another piece of meat, so now you're at the fourth level, that fourth level does not increase anymore. Even though Midda'oraisa, that piece of meat is fully Asar to eat, is fully Tamei, it does not impart Tuma. If that piece of meat touches any other Kachim that was fully Tar, that other piece of kachim will remain fully tahor. So what's the big kasha over here? Also, when it comes to liquids are normally going to be tamei midoraisa, but they don't impart the tumah to other foods. What's the shaila over here? So the Gemara says maski flarav ashi. At the end of the day, that's different though, because revi bekodesh lo ikra tamei. Revi bekodesh is not something that's called tamei. Rather, it's called pasul. It's called pasul. It's something that's just, it's pasul. It's unfit. You can't use it. Which clearly in the name indicated that it has different halachas. Over here, the Torah calls it something that's tamei. So hi ikra tamei. At the end of the day, the Torah calls it tamei. So how could you tell me that it's not going to impart tuma onto something else? And kachim, it would imply that the psukim themselves would indicate this way. So therefore, kasha, this is in fact difficult for the shita of Shmuel. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to ask on Rav. The Gemara says, Tashma, is it really true that you can't have mashkim that are tamei on a level of daraisa v'chol mashke asher yishaseh v'chol kli itma? The pasuk says that any liquid that can get, that you are able to drink in any kli is going to become tamei. So it doesn't explicitly say that something can become tamei from the pasuk. So the Gemara says, ma yitma, what does it mean in lashon of yitma over here that it can become tamei? You would have thought it means yitma, literally it can become tamei. No, it really means hechshir. It means that the liquid itself that touched food is susceptible to tuma. The food then that got tamei would be susceptible to tumah. That if liquid, we know that shivas hamashkim has to touch a liquid in order to become tamei. So that's the chiddush over here. That if it touches a liquid, then it's now susceptible. The food is now susceptible mikan laba to become tamei. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, hechsher. I already know that from the beginning of the pasuk. Mereishet the krusha mila. The beginning of the pasuk tells me mikol haochel asher achel. Any food which is edible, which water had come on, that mayim came on it, is going to become tamei. So why does this last part of the pasuk have to repeat itself and tell you that it's going to be yitma, it's going to become tamei again? It's repeating the same halacha twice. So the Gemara answers, no, you need to teach me two chidushim according to Rav, because chad b'tlushin, one of them is talking about liquids that are detached from the ground, v'chad mechubarim, and one of them is discussing liquids that are not attached from the ground. We're generally going to assume, Rashi points out, that things like rainwater and spring water, those things are going to be considered mechubar, those things are attached to the ground, and water that you are mekaba b'kli, that you gathered in a vessel, and any other drink which are never attached to the ground in a normal way, in a normal state, then those are going to be considered, those are going to be talish. So now you need to teach me both chidushim, that those things are, both of those things are going to be b'machshir ochlin, that if either types of those water touch a food, they from now, mekan l'haba, can make that food tame. Utsricha, the Gemara says, you need really both drushas, the ashminan betlushin, because if the Torah told us the halacha with regards to liquids, only with regards to liquids that were detached, mishum the achshivina, because you made them significant by detaching them, meaning drawing the water, showing, Rashi says, that making them, you're giving chashivas by drawing the water, taking the water out. But when it comes to liquids that are still attached to the ground, imalo, I would have said that at the end of the day, they do not have the ability to make the food susceptible to tumah. And if I taught us the halacha with regards to with liquids that are attached to the ground, then I would have said mishum dekayim beduchtayu chashiva, because they are where they're still in stationary where they originally were. So then they're considered chashiva, they're considered significant. Aval tlushin, however, things that are detached from their places, emelo, I would have said that they are not going to have the ability to be metame. Tzrichi, both of them are going to be not metame, rather machshir. They're not going to have the ability to have the food now become tame. The food becomes tame. Not the mashke itself is not becoming tame. Tzricha, therefore, I need both of these elements of the pasuk. So we have therefore answered for Rav. So the Gemara wants to ask from another kasha, from another pasuk on Rav. Tashma, ach mayin abor mikvah yetar. The pasuk says that a spring, or a bore, a pit, or whatever, a gathering of water is going to become tahor. This pasuk seems to be indicating that the water which is attached to the ground cannot become tame, which is implying that if it's detached from the ground, it can become tame, even midoraisos. So the Gemara says, ma yetar. What does the pasuk mean when it says it should become tahor? Mitumaso, it means that if someone who goes in the mikvah, if you go in this type of mikvah, you're going to be purified and you're going to be tahor. That's what we're telling over here. That's the chiddush of the pasuk. That has nothing to do. It's telling you, mayim shuvim, or pasul, the chor over here. It sounds like mayim shuvim is a psul deraisos. That's a moshe shonahom. There's a das yachid in Rishonim that hold mayim shuvim is actually tame only midrabanan. Lamaisa, that's what we learned from over here. Now the Gemara says, the Gemara now asks a different point, is it really true that detached water can create a hechsher tuma, that now the food that touched any type of food can now be tame from now mikana lahaba? Ve'amar Rabbi Yossi bar Bichanina. Didn't Rabbi Yossi say in the name of Bichanina, mashkin beit mitbachaya, that when it comes to the liquids of the area in the Beit Midchaya, the area where they did the Shechita, and the Tafon of the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash, lo dayan shem dacha, not only are they tar, ela she'in machshirin, but they do not even create susceptible to Tumah either. Now we're assuming that the water, which one does over there, we're assuming right now, if they had the ability to create the foods to be able to become midaraisa, there'd be no exception in the case of the Beit Mirachaya. So clearly, the detached water sounds like it's only an Isser, not Isser, rather, Tumah Derabanan in that circumstance. So Gemara says, Tirgama Aldam. So you can explain the statement of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina as referring dafka to the blood of the Beit Mirachaya. Water can make the food susceptible to Tumah Midaraisa. However, the blood is not. So the Gemara says, and why would that be? How do I know that the blood of the kachim is not going to generate susceptibility to tumah? The pasuk says that you should spill, referring to the blood of an animal, it's saying that you should spill it on the ground like water. The pasuk is teaching us that when it comes to blood, which is spilled like any blood you're allowed to spill on the ground, like water, that would be something which is going to be able to become tumah, susceptible to become tumah, to become tamay rather. So that in that case, you're going to be susceptible to tumah. However, dam she'inu nishpach kamayim machshir, but blood which is not able to be spilled on the ground like water is not going to be susceptible to tumah. So we know that the blood of kachim, the blood of is not allowed to be spilled. Rather, you have to be sprinkling it on the mizbeach. So therefore, it's not going to be susceptible to tumah. So we're saying basically, the pasuk is teaching us that blood that was spilled on the ground right away after Shechita is going to be comparable to water. That again would be making kachim, which is not spilled on the ground, rather it needs to be done on his bath, is going to be susceptible to on a level of Doraisa. So Gemara says, rather not going to be susceptible to Tumah. The Gemara says, Maski, flood of Shmuel Barami, Hare Dama Tamsis. Wait a second, the blood that comes out, Dama Tamsis is the blood that comes out right before the animal is about to die. And we learn from there, Dinishbach Hamayim, that's not the regular blood, that you're not allowed to use that blood to sprinkle on his bath. And yet, it's meaning, so it goes on the ground like water, and yet we save it. In a mashia, at the end of the day, it is not part of the kapar, not allowed to use it to be sprinkled on his bath, yet it's not machshir. Why isn't it? That's against the rule. We should assume that it is machshir to be able to come to Tumah. The Gemara says, Amar Le Reb Zera, Reb Zera said, Hanach l'damatamtis, so you have to leave the blood, the damatamtis, that the blood that came out before the animal is fully dead, because even when it comes to a chulin animal that you shechted it, that blood is not considered one of the shivas hamashkin. Because, so the Gemara explains that Kabla Minei Rav Shmuel Barami, Rav Shmuel Barami explained, had this explanation from Zera, De Amar Achmana, because the Pasuk says, Rak Chazak Levil Teyachol Adam Ki Adam Hor Nefesh. The Pasuk says that you have to be strong not to eat the blood from, because the blood is life. Dam Shenevesh Yotzebak Radam. This is teaching us that blood which the animal's life had been leaving from, that's considered blood, and dam she'inevesh yotzebak inner kredam, the blood which is before that stage, the animal did not die through that blood, is not going to be considered a liquid. So therefore, we're learning over there that you need v'dam chalal mishteh. Pasuk and the Gemara and Chulin learns out v'dam chalal mishteh, that the liquid of the blood is going to be the yishteh, is going to be slain. So the pasuk over there is indicating that only blood which the life had been shayach to is considered blood that is going to be metameh. Otherwise, it would not be metameh. So now the Gemara, so that we just answer the question why dam is not an issue from the drasha of the pasukim. So the Maariv Gemara is to analyze Rav about liquids that are not acceptable to Tumah, even on the level of Doraisa. So the Gemara says Tashma, that we learn, we can ask a kasha on Rav, because the we can ask a question for the Braisa, which says, Dam Shnitma Zarko, if you have blood of a korban which became Tameh, and the Kohen did it anyway, and he brought it, and he sprinkled that on the Mizbeach, and it already had become Tameh. But Shoge Gurtza, if he did it by accident, is going to be accepted. Bemezid Lo Hurtza, but if he did this on purpose, is not going to be accepted. So the Bais is telling us over here that blood of a Korban, which is one of the Mashkin, is susceptible to Tumah, clearly. So how could it be that it sounds like even Midareisa, so that this would be the case, that it's susceptible to Tumah? Now, this, we're going to learn out based on this, just to give us a little background of what in the world is going on. We're talking about a tzitz. The tzitz was the head plate of the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol used to wear it, and it would bring a kapara. It says v'chipar, there's a kapara that was done with the tzitz. So Midareisa, the tzitz would allow the Kohen to, if you have Tumah, the Gemara's going to learn out, how do we know it's dafka about the case of Tumah, not any other psulim in the Mikdash, but we're assuming once you have the Daraisa, the halacha would be that if you have something that's Tameh, the Kohen would even melechatchila allowed to be offering it based on the tzitz. However, midrabanan, there it goes there, that only if it was by accident, not on purpose. They said only if you did it by accident, that you didn't know about it and you sprinkled it, then b'di'evad it's going to get your kapara, and the tzitz would give you that kapara. So the Gemara now answers that really, midrabanan, that when it comes to the mashkin that are acceptable to Tumah, that's only derabanan. And the law, the gears over here, probably should be ki Yosef ben Yoezer istreda. And this Braisa apparently is holding against, which we're assuming that the gzera, it's all, everyone is agreeing that the Tumah is only midrabanan. It's all a concept of derabanan. However, Yosef ben Yoezer is holding that derabanan would exclude the liquids of the Beit Mirachaya from the gzera, and the Tanakama would hold that no, it would apply to the Beit Mirachaya. So the Gemara is answering that both of them are derabanan. Why couldn't the Gemara answer that we're following the Shita of Remeir who holds that liquids are subject to derabanan? Because we don't want to, Tosos asked this question. Tosos said, at the end of the day, Rav would prefer to show that this Braisa is according to his Shita, not Remeir, which is the Shita that he would disagree with. So now we have over here the opinion of Rav. Okay. We'll continue with Tashma. We'll try to bring one more. You know, we'll stop. We'll do. Let's just continue one minute, and we'll do the Tashma, and we'll start. We'll pick up tomorrow. There's a Gevaldik Kasha from Chanukah. It's Mamish Nyanah Dioma of how do you assume that if you assume that all kachim, all liquids cannot become tamei, so then the shemen was never a shayla. So what was the whole Nes Chanukah? So it's a great kasha that Acharon Dilter Rav Yosha was like four terutzim. Be'ezhem, I'd like to pick up with that tomorrow. So let's just start with the Tashma, and then we'll pick up from where we're holding right now. Tashma, that we have a proof from the Braisa, which says, Alma Tzitz Meratze, what is the Tzitz gaining, what is the atonement you're getting in? Al Dam Ve'al Basar Ve'al Chelev Shinpa, if you're going to talk about the blood, the meat, or the chelev, all of that, that a certain person had sacrificed all these things in a state of tuma, and that you knew that it was tameh, and so that's when you're getting a kapar for. Bein b'shogim, bein b'zir, whether it was on purpose or by accident. Bein b'onis, bein b'ratzon, bein b'yachad, bein b'tzibur. So the Gemara says, so that it's going to be the tzitz is not on these concepts. It's on the blood, the chelev, or anything that becomes tameh, bein b'shogim, bein b'zir. So what we include over here is dam. Since we clearly include dam over here, it sounds like that at the end of the day, the Braisa is including dam in the something that you need kapara from the tzitz. Clearly, Yosef ben Yoezer was telling us that this would be a din lechora that is de'oreisa. So the Gemara says, midrabanan, that you have to explain that Tumah was really only rabanan, and the tzitz is meratzeh for derabanan. Udlok Yosef ben Yoezer is treda. So the din derabanan, how far to extend the derabanan, is very similar to the answer we're saying before, that how far to extend the din derabanan is the machlokas of Yosef ben Yoezer and the Tanakama over here with regards to the tzitz. But Pirat Hashem will pick up with the next Tashma tomorrow.